Now, are you a member of a charity or a community or a local group on Facebook? If you are, you need to pay attention to what's coming up next, because members of local Facebook community groups have been exposed, it's been found, to hundreds of hoax posts, including false reports of missing children or deadly snakes on the loose. The fact-checking charity Full Fact found more than 1,200 false reports on Facebook sites, community groups across the world, and warned that these were probably just the tip of the iceberg. These posts could lead to people becoming overwhelmed with false information and were designed to terrify local communities. The examples of the content being shared: in Dundee last year, it was claimed that a serial killer was at large. People have also been falsely begging for help to find missing dogs or missing children, none of which is the case. Hundreds of people shared a hoax Facebook post about an injured dog apparently found after a hit and run in Dunfermline in Scotland. Also, there was multiple posts claiming right across the world, in England, Australia and America, that a man armed with a knife was attacking people in local areas right across the UK. The same sort of story, the same post shared hundreds of times. And the charity found dozens of more examples of different posts, all putting out fake news designed to terrify local communities, as I said, at the grassroots community level on Facebook. So why is this happening, and what can be done to try and tackle it, particularly in the area of the amount of misinformation that we're getting online today? And we'll talk about this in a while. There's legislation coming through from the European Union and from the Irish government, which puts the onus on large tech companies to make our children more safe online and also stop the spread of misinformation. Before I came on air, I spoke to Martina Chapman, National Coordinator of Media Literacy Ireland, about this. And I first of all asked her what Media Literacy Ireland does.
Local groups and people are being exposed to online. Tell me a bit about Media Literacy Ireland, first of all, Martina.
So Media Literacy Ireland, it's an informal alliance of organisations and individuals who are working together, mostly on a voluntary basis, to promote media literacy in Ireland. It's facilitated by Commissioner Mann, previously the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, as part of its commitment to promote media literacy. And what MLI does, we call it MLI, Media Literacy Ireland, it brings together a wide range of members from different sectors. Obviously the media, academia, online platforms, libraries and civil society as well. And what we do is we try and provide a platform for these different organisations and people to come together, to share information, to develop projects and campaigns, and generally provide support for people to develop their media literacy skills.
20 years ago there may not have been a need for this, but it now seems like it's more vital than ever, this work, given what people are, how they're accessing their information and what they're seeing in terms of misinformation and misdirection and outright lies online.
Yeah, it's never been more important that people have the skills and the knowledge to be able to figure out what's reliable and what's accurate, especially online. It's a very uneven media world, if you like. The world of television and radio and the press are highly regulated, but the online world is still fairly unregulated, and that makes it much more difficult for individuals to be able to recognise what's reliable and accurate online.
Yeah, and Martin, when you see a story like we saw this week, the fact-checking charity Full Fact found more than 1,200 false posts on Facebook on community groups. This is at grassroots level. Bizarre random stuff like warnings of deadly snakes, serial killers in your areas, that these kind of hoaxes effectively designed to terrify local communities.
Yeah, look, we should probably call hoax posts what they are. It's disinformation, to give its proper name. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people will deliberately create misleading or false information. Some just want to disrupt, some want to plant seeds of doubt in the hope of undermining an organisation or a movement or a belief system. But mostly disinformation is created for gain. That could be social gain, political gain, but mostly it's financial gain. And as Full Fact suggests, that one of the reasons the hoax posts are so prevalent on community groups is Community groups are filled with people who are engaged in their community, who are concerned and care about their community. So when a post goes out about, you know, a missing person or something that creates alarm, of course people are going to share it. You know, that's only natural. And that's why the bad actors who are creating these hoax posts are going to use community groups. And the reason they're doing that is what they want to do is get engagement.
Right. I was going to ask, but is it clear why they're doing it? Like, there's been examples from this study up in Dundee in Scotland and in Oxfordshire. It was claimed that a serial killer may be at large last year. There's also people who've been falsely begging for help to find missing dogs or children. Loads of people shared a Facebook post about an injured dog apparently found after a hit and run incident. Never happened. Any idea why people are doing this and what that engagement means for them? How do they benefit?
Ultimately, it's hard to know why specifically anyone creates these posts, but one kind of fairly common reason, it's about gain, it's about financial gain. Because once they create a post that they get a lot of engagement around, and by engagement I mean likes and comments and shares. And obviously if there's a post out there in a community group that's generating alarm and fear, people are going to share it, they're going to flag it, because they're going to want their friends and neighbours to be aware of this. But what the author can then do, they can go in and use the editing function to change that post into something completely different. So it could be a survey or an advert for something. Now, because there's been lots of engagement around that post previously, it then makes that post look like a genuine post with lots of local endorsement. And the people who may have commented on it or shared it or liked it could have been commenting and sharing on something completely different.
Yeah, and that's the whole, I suppose, the whole point of it. Is there a financial benefit across different social media platforms in terms of engagement? And particularly we're seeing now with the platform formerly known as Twitter, that there may be payment for people who get a certain number of engagements off what they post.
Yeah, I mean the infrastructure of the internet is very different than the infrastructure of other media platforms in how revenue is generated, and everything is about clicks, and everything is about shares, and everything is about engagement. So if you're a bad actor, and if you're in the business of selling information, or if you're in the business of generating clicks, you know, an awful lot of those bad actors will use whatever information they can, and it absolutely does not have to be true. And the research shows that if you want to get people to engage with a post online, you're going to use highly emotive content to do that. And the emotive content that generates the most engagement is content that's going to scare people or enrage people.
And that really is why we see what we see on social media more and more. There are people who often of them don't believe what they're saying. Often they're putting out stories like we're seeing at these community group levels that are completely untrue. There's a man with a knife in your area on the streets. They're doing it for earnings a lot of the time.
A lot of the time you can track it back to financial gain. Yeah. Whoever is creating these posts, and you know, often they're not local, but they're just getting into local community groups because they know there'll be an audience there who will potentially engage with that post if they write the right emotive stuff around it.
It's pretty cynical. Is that the work of MLI that tries to combat that by educating people to spot when these things are fake?
Yeah, I mean, part of the work of Media Literacy Ireland is to help people develop the skills and the knowledge to be able to better engage with the media, to be able to understand how content is created, and it's helping people to be able to make informed decisions about how they engage with the media.
Yeah. Martina, can I ask you on a separate issue, and it's a developing story today, new European Union rules are coming into force that will require big tech firms to do more to police illegal and harmful content on their platforms. Ireland's playing a leading role in enforcing the Digital Services Act because so many of those companies have their European headquarters here, and this will require platforms and search engines to restrict this information, quickly remove illegal content, and better protect children using the internet. Is this to be welcomed?
In the last 3 or 4 years, there's been an awful lot of attention paid to the problem of disinformation, and there's actually a number of pieces of European legislation that are attempting to address different aspects of it. So you've got the Audiovisual Media Services Directive, and then you've got the European Digital Services Package, and that includes the Digital Services Act, the Digital Markets Act, the General GDPR, as we all know it, and the proposed European Media Freedom Act. At a national level, that legislation gets transposed into Irish legislation through the Electoral Reform Act of 2022 and the Online Safety and Media Regulation Act, or the OSMR Act. And as part of the provisions of those acts, you know, there's been new bodies set up, such as Commission the Man and the Electoral Commission as well. So they've been established to take on new responsibilities in the area. And actually, there is a public consultation going on right now in Ireland from Commission the Man, which it's about the first ever online safety code in Ireland, and they're looking for views from the public on how that code is developed.
Yeah, so that's all important work, and particularly, I suppose, important with regards to next year's local, European and general election in this country. On the political side of it, we've seen misinformation and what effect it can have in other jurisdictions. So trying to get protections in place for that would be important, I'd imagine.
It would. I mean, the bringing in legislation to try and help manage this is absolutely critical, okay? But the problem of disinformation is really complex. It's very dynamic and it's multifaceted. And, you know, while legislation might be able to address some of maybe the more technical aspects of how disinformation is spread, you know, disinformation has been with us since we could speak, since we could sit around a fire and communicate. You know, if you look back at the old westerns, there was always people coming in, rolling into town and trying to sell snake oil. But I think, you know, so legislation is part of the solution, but people developing the skills to understand how, you know, in particular how the online world works, is going to be really important as well. And having the kind of the confidence to know how to check and verify information is really important as well. And that's something that the Be Media Smart campaign is all about. And that's a campaign from Media Literacy Ireland with a lot of partners across Ireland. And what we're doing there is we're encouraging people to stop, think and check that the information that they're getting is reliable and accurate. And that campaign will roll out in October, and hopefully we'll be back on Radio Kerry again in October to talk about that.
Yeah, indeed you will. Martina, thanks so much for giving us your time to go through that for us this morning.
Just in relation to Be Media Smart, a key feature of the campaign this year is a community-based programme of media literacy training. It's developed by EDMO Ireland and Media Literacy Ireland, and what we're trying to do is offer free online training to upskill trusted community trainers such as librarians, teachers, coaches and community group leaders to empower them with the knowledge, the tools, the techniques and the resources to help other people in their community understand the digital media landscape and be able to recognise and evaluate reliable information. So if there's anybody there in Kerry who would like to benefit from that training, they can go to bemediasmart.ie and register their interest before the 4th of September.
Okay, excellent stuff. Martina, thanks so much for talking to us.
No problem. Thanks very much, Jerry. Bye-bye.